Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the Bible promises no loaves to the loafer. We're happy to have the privilege of Bible study again today. We're glad that you're listening. I'm sure that you're very busy with the activities of the day, and we appreciate so very much the fact that you've found time to sit down and to listen and to talk about the Word of God. That's vitally important because God's Word is truth, and God's Word is that which leads us in the direction of heaven. We appreciate your listening. We return now to our discussion concerning Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and we were looking, beginning with verse 10, at some instruction that Paul gave to the church at Corinth. These people had believed and were baptized, and they became children of God, chapter 18 and verse 18. They became children of God, believing and being baptized for the remission of past sins. Now Paul writes to them to help them to sort out some of the false ideas that they may have picked up along the way, and what God wants them to be doing in regard to worship unto Him. Well, as he talks to them, he begins by urging them, in verse 10, that they all speak the same thing. It's quite obvious that the exhortation to the church at Corinth not only was needed when Paul gave it to them, but is also needed by religious people today. Are we divided? Nobody who thinks about that could deny that to be true. Look about you, see the many different religious bodies that exist in our communities, and look at the doctrines that are taught by those different religious bodies, and ask yourself the question, are we all united? Do we all speak the same thing? Well, the failure is not the failure on the part of God. We're divided not because of what God said, but rather when we speak and God has not spoken. Now let me illustrate that. We used this illustration at the close of our program yesterday. Let me expound upon that. The 8th chapter of the book of John tells of some bringing a woman to the master who was taken in adultery. When her accusers were not able to withstand the force of what Jesus said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone," they all went their way, and Jesus, of course, said that she ought not to sin anymore, turn away from that, and do differently. But remember, in the course of this occasion, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. And he wrote something on the ground that is not recorded in the Word of God. Now, wouldn't this be true? If I took every preacher in East Liverpool and Chester and asked them, does the Bible say that Jesus wrote on the ground? They would say yes. And they all would speak the same thing. Why would they all say the same thing? Here's the reason. God said so. And when they speak as the oracles of God, they'd all say what God said along that line. That's what happened. Suppose I asked the same group of people, what did Jesus write on the ground? I can almost hear people say, well, I think he wrote, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. Well, that's what he said. But what did he write? I can hear other people saying, well, he wrote something else. I think this is what he wrote. And so we're divided. But was the division over what the Bible said, or was the division over what somebody said that the Bible doesn't say? Well, the latter is the case. We're not divided over what the Bible says. We're divided over what the Bible does not say, and people have presumed to speak along those lines. Suppose I have the same group of preachers and I ask them, does the Bible say that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Well, I think anybody who believes the Bible at all would say yes, Jesus, or rather God, spoke to Moses in the burning bush. All right, I ask another question. Same group of people, and I ask them, what kind of bush was it, other than a burning bush, what kind of bush was it that Moses had God speak to him from? What kind of bush? Well, the answer would bring about all different kinds of answers. Well, I think it was this kind of bush because based on where he was, and people go on with their own ideas. But there was not one bit of contention or division as long as we said it was a burning bush. The problem came when we went beyond that and tried to answer something that the Bible does not say. Now, I'm using that to illustrate this. The religious world, as long as they speak where the oracles of God speak, is united. But when somebody begins speaking something that is not recorded in the Word of God, begins saying something outside, that's when the division comes. How unfair we are with God when we claim God's book caused the division. The division was not because of God's book. The division was because we've spoken where God didn't speak. That just simply means we have presumed when it comes to the Word of God. Friends, that's why we're divided today religiously. We can look at what God said about how to be saved or how to worship or what is acceptable conduct as a Christian. We can look at that, but the problem comes when we decide, well, I want to say something that is in addition to what God has said, or I want to take away from what God has said. Isn't it interesting that the Bible begins with an exhortation in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 that we not add to or diminish from what God has said? And then we come to the last book in the Bible, and just before the pen of inspiration is laid down, we have God saying, if a man adds to the words of the book of this prophecy, the plagues that are written therein shall be added unto him. If a man takes away from the word of the book of this prophecy, his name shall be taken away from the book of life and from the holy city. That couldn't be plainer, could it? God began by saying, don't bother the Word of God, adding to or taking away from. He closes the book by saying, don't add to and don't take away from what is said in the Word of God. That's our problem. We're divided because people have spoken where God has not spoken. They've gone beyond the things that God has said, and so we stand divided before the religious world about us. Well, the fact is that you and I, as we study the Word of God, need to be more open to what the Bible says and less open to the ideas of men that bring about division. Don't, in your frustration about religious division, turn to God and say, God, you're responsible. You're the one who produced the book that has caused all of this division. That's just not true. It certainly is not the cause of division. It's really the answer to division. If everybody would speak as the oracles of God, we'd all be saying the same thing, and we all would have unity among us, as long as we confine our remarks to what is said in the Word of God. Now, the point that we're making is that Paul was not asking for an impossibility when he told the brethren, speak the same thing, but rather he was asking them for something perfectly possible, something that they were not doing, but if they put their mind to it, they could indeed speak the same thing, be of the same mind, and of the same judgment. Remember then that as we look at this particular passage, we're looking at something which is an impossibility, something that does not exist today, something that is desirable as far as the religious world is concerned. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study today. We encourage you to listen again tomorrow, and remember it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.